Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast, a member of the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're streaming live via Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, bringing you the latest in fishing tips, gear reviews with our friend from Payne Outdoors, Chris Payne, as well as some local and regional tournament news. We'll bring you on some special guests to talk kayak fishing. Now, let's join John Rapp, your host.
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. Glad to have everybody on with me tonight. When you get the second there, hit that like button, share, comment. Let's watch your comments there, stuff come up, pop up on the screen. It's a live, interactive show. We're streaming on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. And right after the show, I will upload the audio version of this to the Anchor FM platform for everybody to listen to when they're traveling to and from work. Got a great little show lined up for you tonight. Hey Heath, good to see you, Big Daddy. I think you're going to enjoy it. I've reached out to one of my partners from the Paddle and Fin Network who runs the Noob Show, Fishing for Noobs. And thank you, Heath, for making comments, bro. And so you can check out my chat board there. But Sean Lavery, he is a great young man, does a lot of fishing up on the Susquehanna where he lives, and we're going to dial him up. But I wanted to show you where I'm at right now, and if you haven't done it yet, I am in the Brownstone Room here at the Tractor Bar. Steve Brown just put out a post 2 days ago on the Brownstone Room Facebook page, talking about the fall, talking about his brand new room. There's a video run through of it and tells you about it. So if you're looking to do any events in Nicholas County, weddings, parties, business meetings, he can seat up to 100 people in here. So go check it out. So let's not wait too long. I know my boy Sean's got a lot of work to do tonight, so I'm going to dial him up. Let me see here. But that's my boy Sean there. You need to go take a look at his Facebook page. We're going to talk to him about what he did this past weekend up at the Susquehanna. Hey, welcome, brother, to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
Thanks, John, man. It's awesome to be on.
Hey, man, I'm really thankful that I know your plate is extremely full tonight, and we're going to push through some good topics. Speaking of which, the topics are, is you, with your Fishing for Noobs page, your podcast that you do weekly. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody about that, and then while you're telling everybody about that, I'm just going to pop over and let them take a look at your Facebook page.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm one of the co-hosts now for Bass Fishing for Noobs. I've been with Paddle and Fin since February of, I think it's probably been 3 years now. Started with my good bud Ryan Milford doing the Noob Show, and Ryan's moved on to other things now. And so I was flying solo for a while. Now I have Susie Q, outdoor woman, with me. She's been kind enough to hop on as a co-host with me. But I started the Noob Show, or I joined the Noob Show, because I was still learning. I'm a lifelong runner, but I figured it would be a great way to learn and also have a lot of fun, get to meet a lot of awesome people, and learn a ton of fishing stuff along the way. And they always say the best way to learn something is to be able to teach it to someone else. So I figured if I can learn something enough and that I can help somebody else, then I'm going to know it pretty good myself as well. So that's kind of what got me into it. And it's just kind of exploded from there. I mean, it's helped my fishing tremendously. I, You know, Brian always likes to joke that, you know, I've come such a long way since I started, and I can't tell you the difference it's made for me, so.
Well, I see on the background, you got your Smalley Games brag board in the back. Now, it looks, I know from this past weekend, you definitely had some stickers that you were able to submit for and add to that. So while you're, while you're talking about that, Sean, I'm going to queue up video number one, fish number one, and and you can talk about the Smalley Games, and you can also let people know about what you were doing, what you float out of, what you were throwing, and how you caught fish number one.
Okay. So, yeah, my Smalley Game board is empty back there, but upstairs I think I have enough to fill at least the first section. So I probably have section number one done. I just haven't put any of my stickers on yet, including I have a 21 that I caught earlier this year. So that's my biggest sticker.
Outstanding.
So super happy about that. But, yeah, so fish number one that I caught in that video, that was my first time out with a GoPro that I got from a buddy of mine. He had bought it for camping or something, used it once, and then it sat in his drawer forever. So when I had mentioned it, I was looking for it, and he's like, well, I have one. It's a GoPro Fusion, so it's kind of cool. It shoots both front and back. It has a camera on the front and on the back, so it shoots 360 degrees. So it makes video editing a little fun because you kind of have to pick and choose. And in video one, that was my first real attempt at that, because you can kind of see landing the fish and me casting and, you know, retrieving at the same time. So you kind of got to go back and forth with that a little bit. But that was, earlier last week, I was out on the Susquehanna River. I went out at my normal spot in Wrightsville, 15 minutes from my house, was floating down. It was still pretty early in the morning. So I was throwing a whopper plopper because I usually start out with top water first thing in the morning. I was just casting kind of on my way down to the spot that I usually kind of stop and fish. It was probably about a 2 foot, 2 to 3 foot deep section of the river. And I was just kind of casting out in front of me, bringing it back. And as you can see, the Smalley just nailed it. And I was able to get him in. I didn't have him hooked very much. I think I only had him one hook on the back treble of the whopper popper, but he stayed pinned the whole time. And that my net job on that one was a little better. I think I didn't miss him too much. He pretty much went right in the net, so got lucky. And it was fun because, like I said, just the angles with that camera, I was able to show kind of out in front of me when he hit, and then also show me retrieving him. And kind of messed with the side shot a little bit because he jumped a few times to the right of my kayak. So,
outstanding, man. I mean, it was great editing. I mean, if you were able to take both of those, so that's the Fusion, GoPro Fusion. What is that, like the 5 or the 6 or the 8?
I don't even know. They don't make it anymore. They do have a newer model of it that's like the 360 or something. So I actually had to go into their legacy software to download the software that lets you, because the video comes out all, like the raw video is really screwy because it uses both, there's two SD cards and it uses both SD cards at the same time.
Okay.
And kind of blends the two images. So you can either do like a kind of a 360 degree video, or you can choose a more normalized video and it kind of splices it together. So the software does all that for you. It's pretty amazing, and it makes it pretty easy.
Outstanding. So. Hey, Tommy Covey, thanks for watching, brother. We'd nothing but love for you. All right. Hey, let's go to – okay, so, guys, you just heard Sean talk about fish number one. So what do you fish out of? Are you in – what's your kayak?
Hobie Outback. I love it.
Okay.
It's
okay.
It does everything I need it to do. It works in small water, big water. I use it on lakes and on the river. I was a little leery about using it on the river at first because of the fins and the Susky's so shallow, but the kick-up fins work great. And you know, I've heard about people bending rods and messing up their fins and stuff, but I've been fishing on the river now with it for 2+ years, and you know, for the most part, haven't had any issues at all. So,
well, that area of the river you're on looks pretty expansive. It's pretty wide, and it looks like nice part of the river.
There is, the Susquehanna, they always joke, is a mile wide and a foot deep, but that section that I do fish right around there is pretty much at least a mile wide. there's a bridge that goes across the river just north of where I fish, and I've run 5Ks across that. So it is a mile plus over wide. And I always used to like to joke with my old co-host Ryan, because him and I would talk river fishing, and in my mind, I'm picturing the Susquehanna. In his mind, he's picturing the Duck River or the real small rivers down in Tennessee that are 100 foot wide at certain sections, or 100 yards maybe, and versus mine is a mile. And so in my mind, I was definitely not picturing what he was picturing. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I can tell you the West Virginia rivers don't look that glass like that was there. They're more, they're a lot of white water and stuff like that. And you can cast across most of them. Except maybe the new. So, I mean, but yeah, that was beautiful. So, all right, brother. All right, now let's go to that monster. Oh, number one, fish number one. How big was she?
Looked like about 17.
Okay.
I think it was 17. Yep.
I was thinking it was a good 16 plus. Okay.
Yeah.
So, guys,
yeah.
Here we go, guys. Let's pull up fish number two. This is a beast.
Fish number two was definitely my biggest fish of that day, 18 and a half.
Oh, wow.
It was fat. It was really heavy. Like, I wish I would have had a scale, because it definitely had some weight to it. It was that football shape, you know, it was much taller than it was long. But I was down on the rocks where I really like to fish, because there's a lot of current that moves through there, and they like to sit right behind some rocks. And I almost wish I would have messed with the editing a little bit more on that shot, because I did have the fish jumping a little bit more when it first hit it in front of me. But I was throwing a crankbait. Yellow and black is my kind of go-to on the river. Yellow black back,
right?
And they seem to really like that. And I just passed a boater had just fished that area right before me. I'm not sure what they were throwing, but they actually, you can see in the video, I'm kind of looking to my right, because they were just down there, and they were like, "What the heck are you throwing?" You know, as soon as they saw me pull that in. I tend to have good luck with the crankbaits right there, because it's just shallow. It's like 5 foot deep there, but with current, and I just run it across the current and past the boulders, and they'll just come out and smash it. And that's exactly what that one did. So
beautiful, beautiful. I could see that you were right there in the video. Now you're looking back at them while you're getting the hooks out, and I'm thinking, now, what you should yell and say, "Hey, if you want to know, you got to watch my show next week."
There you go.
Paddled.
That would have been good. Now, I did go by them later. I kind of pedaled down past them, and I was talking to them a little bit about what I was using and stuff. So I do share pretty freely with anybody I run into on the water if they ask. So.
Well, it's funny how you mentioned your technique there, because I had Jody Queen on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about his success on the new river. When we had high water coming in, the water rose over a foot, and he was hitting, he was throwing his, what's the bladed?
I know he throws the chatterbait on.
The chatterbait.
Yep.
And he was throwing it in front. So when you have your boulder here, right in front of you, we'll use my rum and coke as an example, and the water would hit that boulder and it would split around it. He was throwing in front of it and dragging it out. He said that those fish would stage right around that boulder wherever they would hit, and they could crash them. And so, man, he had a heck of a tournament. And it sounds like that's what you did with fish number one. Now, fish number one, how shallow was she hitting when she hit that plopper?
That was probably maybe 2 foot, maybe a foot. Like, it was, I was actually hitting bottom with my pedals there. So I was actually had my pedals kind of up, you know, if on a Hobie, if you flutter or put 1 foot forward and the 1 foot back, the fins pull up to the up to the hull, and you can kind of go through shallow areas easier. So you can see in that video, like, my 1 foot is forward and my 1 foot's the whole way back, and that's because it's so shallow that you kind of have to do that, or the fins drag. So that was actually a little more shallower than where I caught fish number two. Fish number two, it gets deeper by those rocks, so. It is nice, and I know Jody. I've talked to Jody quite a bit, because he does really well in the Susquehanna as well.
Oh yeah.
He is one of the person that talked to me about that. Jeff Little, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Oh yeah.
But he's definitely another guy that I've learned a lot from, and He talks a lot about hitting both the front, the upstream side of those boulders, and the backstream side, because you'll have fish on either side depending on their mood and how they're feeding. Usually, I'll go through the area first with a crankbait, and then I'll come back through with a Ned rig or something light and throw it in those little eddies right behind the rocks. You'll get the less aggressive fish that are just kind of sitting there hanging out when you do that. So,
looking for the leftovers, baby.
Yep.
Hey, man, awesome, awesome. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to come online with us. I know you
no
have
problem.
Another show to prepare for, but just before you leave, the latest tips, tricks on the river that you would give for fall fishing for all our viewers out here. A lot of the guys from West Virginia are making trips up to the Susquehanna right now. What would you recommend? Okay. What would you recommend they tie on and throw?
In the fall, I have a lot of luck with rattle traps. The grass is starting to die off at that point, so it's not as snaggy, but it's just enough that you can kind of run it across the top. And for me, it's easier to control the depth of a rattle trap than a crankbait. A crankbait is going to dive down and want to go through that grass. But a rattle trap, I can kind of run just across the top of that grass. And if it gets stuck just a little bit, you just rip it free. And a lot of times that's when you'll get your strikes, when you're ripping that free of the grass. You know, it'll slow it down just enough and then out of it. And that really triggers that reaction bite of those, the bass that are hanging out in that, in the grass that's left over. So that's, I caught my first 20-inch smallie last year on a rattle trap, kind of as the fall started getting, the fall bite really started getting on. So I'm really excited. You know, it definitely seems like the bite's picking up again. We had this summer, it was just brutal in the Susquehanna. It was low. And the place that I fish all the time, I struggled for a while. But just last week, we had some rain. So I had a feeling Saturday was going to be good. And it turned out to be really good. So
awesome, man. Awesome. Well, hey, nothing but love for you. Thanks for jumping on with me. Go do what you need to do. And again, guys, Sean Lavery from the Fishing with Noobs from the Paddle and Fin Network.
John, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on, brother.
All right, man. Y'all have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
All right. So that was my boy, Sean. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we'll try to hit up our boy, Chris Payne from Payne Outdoors. Last week, we were going to play with a new mold, but he had a last-minute meeting at work and couldn't get home in time. So this week, we should be able to get to play with it.
Yak Gadget, proudly supplying you with American-made products and gear. Check out yakgadget.com.
Ace Resort, West Virginia's number one destination for whitewater, hiking, ziplining, and more. Check out aceraft.com.
Brook Supply Company, Georgia's number one go-to kayak fishing supply store. Gear, accessories, and custom rigging. Look them up, westbrooksupplyco.com.
Payne Outdoors, the custom plastic maker, design consultant, product reviewer, and outdoor writer. Check out more at PayneOutdoors.com.
Feel Free Kayaks. Paddle, pedal, or power, there's something for everyone. Check out FeelFreeUS.com.
All right, guys, we've got two viewers. Appreciate you guys watching with us here. Had Heath and Tommy chat up on the chat. So if you're here with us, just hit your like button. Johnny Corp, he's been here. He said like the show. Hit your like button, follow button, share button, so I can see your name pop across the screen and I can give you some kudos. So anyway, we just got finished with the first segment of the show with Sean Lavery, and I hope you enjoyed that. Sean had some good luck earlier in the week catching some big fish up on the Susquehanna. He told us about his tips, tricks, and how he was successful fishing up there. So the guys that are getting ready to go up there from West Virginia, I hope you picked up a tip or trick here, tip or trick from him when you go up there. And make sure you also, when you get the opportunity, if you really need any information, definitely I would call or hit Jody Queen up and tell him that you're heading up there. And I guarantee you, Big Jody will give you some information. So anyway, let's get over to the dial-up screen. We're going to call up my boy Chris. All right. So what we're doing, guys, here lately, we've just been using the old messenger platform. I go to you, and I go hit that dial-up button, and I dial you in, as you can hear. All right, so let's bring on my boy Chris Payne from Payne Outdoors, located in Texas. He's live, raw, and unfiltered, and back after a long work day last Tuesday night. Hey, buddy.
Hey, hey.
Looks like you've already got something poured for us to look at, brother.
Yeah, I thought I had a few more minutes, but it's all right. You're going to see it when I'm going to see it. So here we go, right? Live, raw, and unfiltered.
Yeah.
So as you can kind of tell, what I am basically doing is building a swim bait that's a blueback chartreuse, kind of like those crankbaits that we throw, right? I've got this new swim bait mold I've been playing with that allows me to do laminates a lot cleaner than what I've done in the past.
Oh, yeah. That looks nice, man.
Oh, hopefully you can see those okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so this was the first shot. What I'm discovering with this mold is the first shot shoots a little, just a little blendy, and they get better as it goes. But that is definitely a blue with a chartreuse. And I've been playing with all kinds of different color combinations and really liking this mold for what I'm able to produce color wise because it's working a lot better than my other one because how clean those lines are.
Yeah.
Like if somebody wants a clean line and doesn't want to swirl, we're on that now. So, you know, just took a little time to find the right mold. Went through a few different ones, and sometimes you got to buy once, cry once, and that's what we did.
That looks good, man.
I also have been playing with some other colors. I know a lot of people that watch Josh Jones fishing this year, fishing out of Texas with his front facing sonar and all that crap. And he was catching those giants.
Right.
He was fishing a pretty cool color. And so what I did is basically I wanted to mimic that color.
Now that's got a lot of glitter in it, and I can see some white and blue and green.
Yeah, so it's basically a white top, and then it's a clear with holographic on the bottom.
Yeah, you can see that in the video.
So... yeah, I'm sorry that light is so bad. It's really hard to get these to show up and be lit properly.
Oh, wow, that looks good. So, I hope you're making several bags of those. They're going to go fast.
Well, so that's the thing is I have not even listed them on the website yet. I'm probably going to do a release, and I'm going to pre-make several bags of several colors and release them as what's available. I'm not gonna do customs per se on these.
Right.
What I am gonna do are, for the folks who are watching this today, so I don't know who's watching it, but if they like this kind of stuff, they're gonna feel lucky. I am, or it may just be me and you, whatever that turns out to be. But I'm going to let them suggest two colors for us to release, a top and a bottom, whatever colors that they would like. So we've done some different stuff that we had available that we showed on TikTok for everybody following with TikTok.
Oh, nice.
So that's a watermelon. It's a green pumpkin on top with a chartreuse black pepper on the bottom. So that's one of the ones that we did. And then we've got kind of this is basically our Lubbock color on top That's a pumpkin seed with chartreuse bottom.
Now, guys, then, for you guys that are listening to this show later, Chris is showing some of his new swim mate molds that he's already made with those different colors. Make sure you go check out Paint Outdoors website.
And so this is a watermelon fire on top with a blue pearl bottom.
Nice. That looks good.
Yeah, so the watermelon fire with the blue pearl bottom is the one that garnered the most attention on TikTok. Had a lot of people looking at those. So if anybody is, listening or whatever.
Let's take a look.
We're going to, yeah.
While you're talking here.
What we're going to do is I'm going to probably make up like four bags of three different colors that I really like. And then I'm looking for two other color suggestions.
All right, guys, hit that chat button. Let's just see what you want. Two colors. We'll give you a couple of minutes or two. So how are you liking that mold? Is it working out a lot better than before? The old
one? Yeah, it is. So I still have that old mold. I have a couple of customers who really like it. It's fatter. It's a fatter body. And I think actually I have shipped out all the ones that I had. I don't even have any poured up right now. But it's a fatter body. It's the riblet that's on the website. And you can see it's got that deep belly to it, which works really good for like jigs and stuff that have a big bait keeper on them, a trailer keeper. This is a little thinner body. This works good with underspins or works good on a jig head, ball head jig. This is money for that.
Which one would you throw on like a chatterbait or something like that? Either one or
On chatterbait, I like this newer one, this 3.5-inch version instead of the 4-inch version, just because it doesn't try to override what the chatterbait is doing.
Exactly.
So the other one is so big that tail can cause a little extra wobble in it, and put some drag on the back of it that it's not used to and not really designed to have that much drag on the back of it. This one is a little more streamlined. You still get the vibration, and it's got a thick tail. So the tail thickness on this, let me show for anybody who's watching.
Oh, yeah.
The tail thickness on this is about twice what a Kytec is. And so it's going to live up to like those perch bites and those short strikes a lot better. And you're also going to get more wobble in it than just the fast twitch. You're going to get more wobble, so a little bit slower of a kick on the backside. Though I wouldn't call it slow, but it's slower than a thin one would be because it takes more force to displace the water to make it move fast. So that is kind of where we are with that. I'm thinking we might have time for me to mix up one more if I can do this quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't we do this? I'm going to really throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we're going to do, I'm going to do a chartreuse top with a clear holographic glitter belly.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So now, we'll see how it looks.
Yeah.
Because it could look like absolute trash.
Oh, I doubt that. I'm sure you've already probably experimented here or there with those combinations, and they've looked good before in the past.
Yeah, they do all right. They do all right. But, yeah, I've really been doing a lot of this, and then we pretty much finished up our tournament season. So a lot of the sponsorships and all of those gift cards have been cashed in, and I got some really nice comments from some of our West Virginia kayak anglers that won some of those who had never fished my baits before or seen them before. And they got them in and they're like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, it's different. It's not what you can find on the shelf. It's different.
Hey, there's a reason why me, Rick, and Jerry, and a few of the others keep you hopping down at the shop there. So.
Yeah, they look different. And, you know, we're continuing to evolve. You know, a lot of the molds that we carry now, we didn't have, you know, even last year when we started talking about all this. And, you know, we are I'm always trying to play with different pearls and different glitters and different color combinations to try to find something that's just, it's different, right? It's just different.
Yeah.
While
you're chatting there, I got you on my lower screen and I got your Paint Outdoors page. Just happened to, it froze up, but my video was running where I was throwing your lizards from last year, the green, green pumpkin, green flake, and they had our special blend of Cajun seasoning in there.
Good old Cajun lures.
They were hitting it hard.
Sometimes they're mad at it.
Yeah, they were big, fat 14. One of them was almost 16 inches. Smallest was, I think, 13.75, but they were all heavy. They've been feeding up.
Yeah, I think probably the riblets, the lizards, are probably our biggest sellers this year. The riblets surprised me a little bit. I didn't know how many people would fish a bait that's built a little bit differently than the other stuff out there, but it's actually done really well. The lizards have been super popular. Almost every order I get in, somebody orders lizards. They're like, yeah, I like lizards. Like,
yeah, okay, boom. That was heavy in my arsenal 3 or 4 years ago. I've expanded a little bit, but I still keep one tied on.
Yeah, I think. You know, when we talk about the good, we've got to talk about with the bad. Probably the biggest disappointment that I've had as far as lures selling that I thought would do really well is this guy I'm going to show you right here. It's the Bomb Shad.
Huh.
So I have sold exactly 5 packs of these since I bought that mold. That is it. I think people may be scared of the size, I guess. I don't know. But I throw this instead of a frog through the slot. And, and that's fine if folks don't want to buy it. That's okay.
Oh,
I'll fish them.
Yeah. I was the first person I thought of when I saw it was a gentleman down here near Hinton. And he fishes a lot with white flukes. His name's Austin Lilly. He's a Jackson kayak guy. He would go from he would cover 12 and 14 miles of water on a river because he would go from shoal to shoal and just work spots because he knew the river. He wouldn't sit around. He would make 2 or 3 casts in an area. He didn't get hit. He would slide on down to the next one.
Yeah, he wasn't fishing dead water, was he?
No, he very successful, very successful. One tournament we had down there, he had 2 citation fish in one day. He won that tournament. Sure. So.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about that. I think you guys had quite the event, right? Recently, guys posting up. Didn't somebody post a 21-inch smallmouth?
Yeah, that was our friend Mikey Holcomb.
That's what I thought.
He was on the show last week. Mikey had 2 citation fish on the New River last week, and his third fish was only 1/4 inch from being a citation. He had over 60 inches for 3 fish at that tournament.
I was like, oh, 60 inches isn't that good. And then it was like 3 fish in the river, smallmouth. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Mike, you killed it.
Yeah,
he was on the show last week.
When you know. And sometimes it just works out, right? Well, that seemed to be one of those times where it just worked out with him. Well, all right.
He was throwing topwater, and he caught all his fish in 45 minutes right at daybreak. All three of those fish.
So, wow. I've never experienced being in first place in a tournament and pretty much knowing you've got a check going home.
Yeah, he ended up finishing second because it was a two-day event.
I saw that.
But he did really well. I think he was really happy with it. So.
Yeah. All right. Pouring this up. We're going to shoot it. I have, of course, overfilled these because I'm talking more than I'm working.
Oh, well. That just means you got to do a little bit more trimming, Big Daddy.
Yeah.
So, before you guys that are listening on the audio version of this, he just loaded up some plastic and he's making the pour into his mold.
All right. This is a fun one to shoot because you can shoot it fairly quickly and it doesn't take, you know, gallons and gallons of plastisol to make good baits when you've got an efficient mold.
Are you still pretty happy with your new plastics?
Yeah. I think I made a couple of adjustments after running through them and I would say I am satisfied with their quality.
Good deal.
It's always a concern. Supply chain can continue to be a bit of a bear, but it all depends on the season. You know, we're going into what's considered for bait makers kind of the quiet season. And then it's going to get cold. And guys are going to not be fishing as much, and they're going to be surfing the web looking for fishing tackle.
Inventory time.
Yeah, December and January, everybody's going to be spending money, and I'm fine with it because it'll be cooler here. Yeah. It won't be 101 degrees like it is today. it'll be a balmy 45 degrees, and I'm making baits and just happy as a clam.
I hear you. With your garage door open.
Yeah, boy. You know it. So, we're going to have to let this cool a minute. I'm going to do an old cheater trick, and I'm going to put some cold aluminum on it.
Draw that heat, huh? Yeah.
That's right.
It doesn't affect the... And that doesn't affect your pores at all, does it? Just all it does is...
No, as long as it's... that plastic's got to cool. There are some guys who dunk them in water.
Yeah.
I don't like that just because it can warp the metal. It's not a natural thing for metal to go through that.
They dump the metal in water. Okay.
Because they're all aluminum. And so aluminum is more susceptible to rapid changes.
Yeah.
If you've got cold water and you've got a mold that's 350 degrees and you hit it with 70 degree water or colder, it can cause some warping over time, cause your air vents to flux, and it's just not great. They make chill plates so that you're not dunking it in water and it's just cold aluminum. It keeps the aluminum cold. That's a better way to do it. I'm not shooting, 100 bags a day, so I don't really need that. I'm going to go ahead and open this up. Because if I can hold it in my hand, even though it's hot, if I can hold it in my hand and not drop it, then it's cool enough to crack open and see what this looks like.
All right.
Oh, that's interesting. So let me pull one of these off here.
Oh, yeah. Chartreuse. Nice. Yeah, you can see the hollow, wow, the hollow in the bottom there. Yeah. When you twist it around. Like, yeah. Nice, man. That looks good.
Chartreuse.
Yeah.
We'll throw them, see if they catch fish.
Heck, you know, that's what you do. You know, you make one of your little wacky packs, your variety packs, with two of those and two of your whites and two, and send them out. And then when they say they like one of them, they can come back and order that one solid or something.
Yeah, so I've kicked around the idea of, for the holidays, doing a bait box. There are a lot of folks who, when they make baits, they do like a bait box. And so you would basically take like a Plano 3600, and in each section you put a different bait.
Yeah.
Either color or style or something like that.
That's a good idea.
So who knows? We may see how that happens, or we may do a wacky pack version of that. Sometimes people don't like paying for that, and sometimes they like it. And a lot of times people who don't fish who are buying gifts for fishermen like them because it's a variety of a bunch of stuff.
Plus it's easier to wrap.
Yep. Also true. It's not leaking garlic oil.
Stick it inside someone's stocking, and then all of a sudden it smells like garlic oil.
Yeah, we're like,
Hey, what did Santa leave here?
Yeah, no doubt. Santa went to Italy before he came to see us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what I got. That's what I've been up to. And we're making these new swim baits. And so if guys want a message or email or whatever, what colors they might like to see, we'll pick a couple of them and get them out there.
Sounds good, buddy. Appreciate you coming on the show. As always,
you bet.
You're full of fun, laughter, and great knowledge, buddy.
Appreciate it, John.
Hey, you know, I'm not buttering you up or anything for next week.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
All right. We'll see you.
All right, guys. That's my boy Chris Payne from Texas in the Mad Kitchen. Appreciate him coming on and chatting with us. So make sure when you get the opportunity, you go to Messenger and send him a message and tell him the two colors that you want him to play with. And if we're lucky, we get to see it next week. So, again, just in case you guys didn't catch the early part of the show, you can see where I'm at. I am in the beautiful brownstone conference room here at the Tractor Bar and Grill, Mount Nebo, West Virginia. If you're looking for a place to host an event, you know, go to the Brownstone page. Steve Brown just posted a video. It's already been shared over 100 times. Introducing the room and doing a video coming through that door right there and showing everybody what the room is, how many it'll hold, and what you can do with it. So if you're looking to have a Halloween party, Thanksgiving dinner with family, or even Christmas parties for the company, make sure you go to the Brownstone page and hit Steve up. So while I'm thinking of it, I wanted to talk about a couple things here before we sign off. We've got a few more minutes. And I wanted to give a shout out to Storm and Emily, note the last name, Storm and Emily Carver. Congratulations on your marriage. It was a beautiful wedding, and I was honored to be there to see you guys share your hearts and passions with each other at the ceremony. And I gotta say that Philip and Sierra were looking off the hook beautiful and awesome and handsome. And the three other groomsmen from the West Virginia Kayak Anglers that were there also, which was Rick Garavaglia, Evan Adamson, and Mikey Holcomb. Sierra was there. Mikey and Sierra looked awesome. I'm throwing a blank on Mikey's wife's name. Anyway, it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony, and I just want to wish you guys all of the best and success in life. Most of the guys that are involved with the club know who Storm is and how he's such a wonderful young man. Get to see him this weekend. So all you guys, West Virginia kayak anglers, we have our two-day championship, our end-of-the-year event this weekend in Jackson County. I'm packing the camper up Friday morning, rolling up to meet with Greg Kupfner and the gang for our event on Saturday and Sunday. So the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast, next Tuesday, we will talk with Greg, and we will talk with the winners of the event and be able to announce who our Angler of the Year is for the club. And never know, we may have our top 12 that we can talk about who will represent West Virginia kayak anglers that go on and face the guys from Mountain State in Southern West Virginia for the state championship event. Should be interesting, should be fun. Look forward to it. The weather looks decent. We had a beautiful day today. Really thought about calling in sick on you guys and going out and hitting the water. But beautiful day today. Looks like we've got a little bit of rain popping in on us tomorrow. And then there's chances of rain for the rest of the week. So let's just hope Jackson County is part of that area that's free. And guys, if you don't know much about the lakes up in Jackson County, we have three that are pretty popular, which is Elk Fork, O'Brien, and Woodrum, that hold very, very good fish. If you go to Woodrum's or Elk Fork, you quite possibly could hook into a quite large muskie. I'm not for sure if O'Brien holds muskie. I've never hooked into any there, but it's going to be a fun event. I look forward to seeing all the guys one final time for the year. We're having our barbecue at the end of day two, and when we announce the winners of the event and our Angler of the Year. Greg Kupfner, buddy, I know you've kept the roads hot this year, but you've still managed to do a wonderful job with the trail. You picked up the slack when it needed to be picked up, and we all appreciate you doing it. So anyway, but guys, if y'all have any comments, questions, or anything, I look forward to talking to you and chatting with you again next weekend. Tuesday nights, you can find us right here on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Make sure you check out Anchor FM. We will have this show uploaded here in the next 15 minutes. So if you need to make that drive to work the rest of the week, just throw up your favorite podcast platform, look it up on Apple, and just hit play and listen to it while you're driving down the road. Anyway, this is John Rapp. You guys be blessed, and I'll catch you later.